hard stop, not later than 5:30 to do that. So we're gonna stay on the state forest topic, and then we have the two other topics after that. Lots of input. I know you've been listening to that and keeping track. And a lot of information, a lot of perspectives. I think some of it relevant to decisions that we're hoping to make today. Some of it more relevant to the ongoing part of the process around the forest management plan. And I guess just a couple of those things to start with, and you may have a longer list for other board members as well. But understanding or recognizing maybe more clearly the intertwined relationship of what we're trying to do with the HCP and with the FMP. I mean, I'd have a concern if we were talking about these things being sequential, because I think we need, I think you've outlined a path where we are pursuing both of these things, but I think we could probably make sure we're recognizing that. There were some concerns about, again, when we talk about principles, we'll always get into the how specific are they. I think some of that is, it will be things that we do as we further develop all of this. I think climate came up as an issue for a lot of folks. We should look at what we have in terms of that language. So Liz and Justin, maybe start with those, or do other folks have other things they want to add to that list right now for the discussion? Tibble?
Income diversity.
Yes. Did you hear?
Income diversity.
Income diversity.
Okay, great. I'll take a stab at those items. So, for the record, at the table again, Liz Dent, State Forest Division Chief. Some of the pieces that we heard pretty consistently were concerns about ambiguity, wanting to see a little bit more detail in language, this reference around the need to have continue to pursue an HCP, needing more characterization of climate change and other sources of revenues. I think those were the components. Touch on those again. So again, I think for the concern around needing to see a little bit more specificity, and actually as a whole, what I would offer as I walk through some ideas here is that we could incorporate those into the guiding principles and bring those back to the board for approval at a future meeting. Depending on how much we're talking about, maybe in June, if it's quite a bit of work, it will be at the July board of forestry meeting. So that's maybe a framework for us to think about the work that we're doing here. So in terms of concern around ambiguity, we can certainly work on that and revisit and fine-tune this a little bit. I do want to remind the board and the folks that have been testifying on that front that these are meant to be general in nature and that we will move to greater specificity as we move through the process with performance measures and quantifiable targets. And those are the pieces with which the board can identify if they're seeing the objectives met that you want to see met in a forest management plan. But I definitely think we can revisit and look for opportunities to improve on that front. So that would be overall. Going in order then to guiding principle 3, and if we look at that guiding principle, there was some comments around the 98% revenue reference, and I would suggest that we can move that into the description that's underneath that bold language, so we still keep it there, and I think we need to. I make a strong case for that. But I would move it, we can move it into that descriptive area. If you read down further into that descriptive area, there's a reference to diversification of revenue streams. And so we can make that more clear, maybe put a little bit more language around it to acknowledge the importance and value of looking for other sources of revenue.
So what are you suggesting in principle? What does that mean?
No, I'm just saying we would add the in that section, in the description of Principle 3, so the language that's not written in bold, there's a parenthetic statement there towards the end that reads, several tools are used, including the business plan, for example, diversification of revenue streams, business improvements, etc. And so instead of having that in the parenthetic statement, we could take it out and give it, expand and enhance that statement.
Right. So the question is, what is the bold principle?
It's the first sentence, I believe.
Is that what you're proposing, is just to keep only the first
sentence? Financial viability. I think we need to clean that language up. It's a little bit rough as well, but it's basically sufficient income or revenue to allow us to fully implement the forest management plan to provide the benefits as mandated and raise permanent value. It's that first sentence, but we can clean that up.
So the second sentence is bolded. Are you, you're taking the bold off of it? You're sticking it in the paragraph below?
Correct.
It's more an explanation.
Yeah. Right.
Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you're going to put, I'm assuming, so there's the first sentence, financial viability is achieved in the short term with operational tools that ensure cash flow is available to save forests. Yeah, that first sentence. And then you'll probably, you put in the current business model, like right after that sentence.
Right.
So I suggest, in that first sentence, you just add a comma at the end of state forests in that first sentence, and you just write, and income diversity is pursued over time, and telling more. And then you're at it. Then after that, you're saying, in the current business model, and then you have that other sentence at the end that talks about diversification. So it sort of balances out that conversation. Does that make sense? Should we put it up on the screen, maybe, like so people can see it? Because we're going to do it.
Yeah, well, I hate to double temperature in the editing.
Yeah.
Wordsmithing.
Well, we're voting on the principles today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, actually, why don't we think? So yeah. That's a because that would drive the answer to that question, and that's that one option on the table I was proposing is that I gather the concepts, get some understanding of what you all would like to see, reflecting the public input that we've heard, but that the approval of the guiding principles would be with those edits in and put in front of you in either June or July. But alternatively, we can fix it all up right now and go for approval today. I would leave that up to you all how you want to do that. I'm flexible.
I guess just to ask a question, if we give you this, have this conversation, give you this direction with the ability to make, you know, some cleanup stuff before we prove it more officially, does that delay us in any way in this process?
I think that if we keep it, I see us staying on track unless we fundamentally are changing the guiding principle or there's an entirely new guiding principle has to be developed.
Because we could also approve the old language and say, the explanatory language for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do we decide that after we've gone through the pieces to,
okay,
to see correct?
Okay.
So just as an observation for me, this principle 3 never felt like it was really a guiding principle. I had difficulty in reading it, trying to identify what we were saying was going to guide our development of the plan. We have the statement of what is occurring under the current business model. We have the definition of what financial viability is, but we didn't have anything that I saw in there that really gave us, and what is the principle with respect to financial viability that we're going to use to guide the development of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, with respect to financial viability, what seems to me like I would like to see is the principle that's guiding the plan, is that we are improving our business models and diversifying our income in order to increase the likelihood that we will be a financially viable operation. It's something like you, funding stream diversification, business model plan improvements.
Yeah, you bet.
Are the principle that guides the development of a plan, to me.
Right, and so I guess a couple of thoughts. One is that from the outset, we've described this process as a three-pronged approach in which we're looking at changes in policy, course management plan, we're looking at improved business practices, and that we would be looking for alternative sources of revenue or revisiting the business model. So those are definitely, I wholeheartedly agree, it's all part of the story for financial viability. And in order for us to be able to be the most successful we can be on those other two aspects,
which are
the improving our business practices and diversifying our revenue streams, particularly the business practices, we need a course management plan that provides a space for us to do that, that allows us to implement our best practices. And that's the key point of this guiding principle.
What I'm hearing is that what we have right now is principle three is the definition of financial viability. It isn't a statement about what the plan is supposed to do for financial viability. So maybe it's something like the plan should increase flexibility for the state boards to meet financial viability. Or something that's that is a principle that guides the development of the plan.
It's the development of the plan, but it's also the implementation of the plan. And that's where this piece comes in. We are describing our business practices under here in terms of utilizing our operating plans and our marketing.
So my thought is you touch on all of it in the discussion, but I don't see that the principle actually states what it is that we're going to, it doesn't provide direction.
Well, I think the way Peter just stated it,
yeah,
does provide.
That's right. That helps.
Because the plan would be flexible.
Plan would increase flexibility in meeting financial viability.
By increasing diversity, improving business plans, and whatever the third one was.
Except the plan itself won't increase revenue stream, won't increase that. That's the three-pronged approach. Plans just will give us increased flexibility. The management plan doesn't diversify revenue stream.
No, but it can be designed to accommodate a diversified revenue stream, or it can be designed so that it doesn't accommodate a diversified revenue stream.
And that's why I'd like to get increased flexibility. I'm just trying to get at the general idea of the principle, but need more of the details to be developed in the process. Does that work to keep it shorter?
Well, I think at least for me, our current business model, where we're getting 98% of the revenue derived from timber sales, has proven to not work over time. That's why we're in this financial viability question. And so if we design our plan with the expectation that in the future we will continue to depend on timber revenue for 98% of the support of the program, we're not addressing the problem that brought us to this step.
I hear what you're saying, okay. And that's one of the reasons why we felt it important to identify that 98% of revenue is coming from the sale of timber, because were it not, then the plan could look different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely why we felt the importance of identifying it. I would also say that it's not the only reason. I think there are a whole host of reasons why there are challenges for paying for the operational costs to run the force, to run our force management division, and to manage these public forests. And it's not just about the fact that our revenue only comes from sales labor. And that's, you know, one of the, and in the financial viability analysis that was done in 2011, one of the findings was, well, there were several findings, and one was that we needed to look at revising the forest management plan as part of that solution.
I think it covers it,
so, yeah, I just one thing I'm trying to figure out, Mike, same thing. It feels like...
Everything's covered to me.
The first, so what you said is that you're going to take out the second sentence. You're going to keep the first sentence in. Financial viability is the ability to generate sufficient income to provide values and support GPP. That's the principle.
Right.
Okay. So but hopefully, I don't, Cindy, I might be misunderstanding you, but is there something wrong with that sentence?
Other than that, it seems to me just that it's a definition rather than a principle. You know, it's sort of like, okay, so we define financial viability. What is our principle with respect to financial viability?
So the principle maybe is as simple as the plan needs to provide financial viability to the fullest extent possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to me, that's what the change is. It's, and I just wrote, like, the plan will provide sufficient income to ensure financial viability and sustain the values that support GDP.
It could
be expanded, like you said, too.
Does that get to your point?
That it's there as well. I particularly, if you beef up some of the discussion below, as we talked about.
Right. Well, we're talking about sort of the shitting kind of music because you have the time to deal with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get?
I think it's on a right. It's recorded on audio.
Okay.
Probably the thing we should go with here.
Great.
I wrote it down.
So that's, I guess, do you have any other principles where we're talking about the bowl here that folks want to see amended in some way?
Principle 3.
That was principle 3.
Principle
8.
I'm sorry, can you just clarify for the public what happened there? It feels like just some entities happening at some agreement. I apologize for interrupting.
Well, we're not voting, we're still discussing, so before we get to that, we will actually talk about specifically.
Thank you.
Yeah, but so on 3 and on this topic, the only other element that I have in terms of principle related to financial liability is that it seems to me that we somehow need to incorporate that as part of the planning, either the planning analysis or the planning implementation, the planning development, that we, if we find that under the, if we, whatever model we come up with, that we are likely to continue to have problems with inadequate generation of fund to meet costs under our current model, that we are pulled up short and revisit. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a, we've got this principle, but at least everything that I've heard over the last 5 years indicates that for a variety of different complex reasons,
we can't
get there under the current business model. And so we need to, if you can't have the plan itself diversify the funds, we need to have some mechanism that in the analysis and in the discussion and in the development, we are identifying the shortfall that we cannot generate, that we need to cover by some other funding diversification. Because, you know, the impression I have is that we really can't cut ourselves out of the financial shortfall. And so we need to have some way to acknowledge, recognize, and identify the gap.
And I think as we got the guiding principles to begin to develop the plan, measurable outcomes would be where we get to that. So I don't think we need that level of detail in the guiding principles.
Okay. And Peter, I'm not, we don't want to work on it, but it really would be good if, okay, just to get on the,
Sure.
Yeah, well, no,
I think before we vote on the subject.
Doing a slide, doing a PowerPoint, do a blank slide.
I want to make sure there was, Niels was saying something to add, and I want to communicate, you know. So we'll put that up before. Okay, thank you.
Great. So that's three, I think.
Well, I think what I think we're hearing is the value of characterizing that in writing for them to see.
Yes, three, but we can go on to the different differences along the way of characterizing that.
Okay, so I have a, what I think is a quick one on two, which we sort of slipped over.
Sure.
And that is that, for me at least, there is a fundamental difference between private lands and public lands and social obligations on private lands and public lands. And one of the things that I think is really important on public lands, I think can be simply dealt with in principle two, and that is where it says, state forests will be managed, conserved, and restored to provide an overall biological diversity of state forest lands, comma, including the variety of habitats insert needed to maintain and recover native fish and wildlife. So private lands just have, they don't have a recovery obligation, I think state lands do.
And neither does state forest. We're not responsible for the recovery of species.
Well, that's a policy decision. In my mind, there is an obligation on public lands to do more.
Uh-huh.
And so, for me, as a guiding principle for the development of a forest management plan, I think it would be important to not just provide habitats to maintain, but to maintain and recover.
I guess I want some feedback about that. I mean, if it's not if it's consistent with our statutory responsibility and that sort of thing. But I want to understand if you guys have a...
Well, state lands are treated much like from the Endangered Species Act. There is no real obligation. I think there may be a social expectation, but that's different than a legal obligation.
And I know there is not a legal obligation under the Federal Endangered Species Act. I'm wondering, though, about other state conservation policies.
I'm beginning to think, I mean, with all respect, I'm beginning to think more that we should talk and have you guys bring back language, because I think that's something we haven't asked for public input about.
Recovery is a big step. I mean, admittedly, it's a huge step. Under take avoidance, which is what we're using now, we are not tasked with recovering species. Under a habitat conservation plan, it's written along the lines of contribute to recovery.
And I'd be happy with a contribute to.
I would just put out there that were the language to go in that direction, it would question if take avoidance would get us there.
Yeah, I think an HCP would get us there.
Well, yeah, that would be the purpose of an HCP, but were we to take that recovery language and have that in a guiding principle like this one is dealing with conservation, it moves us, it does change the fundamentally, if we're managing the forest for take avoidance or not, with using take avoidance as our ESA compliance tool.
And we're in a minor parallel process between the HCP and the FFP at the same time. Because, you know, if we say we have to do recovery, then, you're making the decision around the HCP before we've had the analysis whether the HCP is a good, before we present the analysis to the board, whether that's a good business practice.
Yeah, so I guess just to put it out there, I have not been on the subcommittee, but whenever it has come up in conversations where I've had an opportunity as a member of the full board, I've sort of made this comment that there is, in my mind, a fundamental difference between public and private lands, and contributing to the recovery of at-risk species is something that I think is a moral imperative of public lands.
But I guess
So I haven't been in the subcommittee where I could push discussion of that.
Yeah. Well, I respect Cindy's comment. The GPD rule, you know, was negotiated in the 90s, and it was, this is that conversation was discussed. And so, I mean, I think what Principle 2 is trying to do is lay out, this is how I read, is lay out the issues. The word recovery is one that was discussed in the GPD rule, and the wording there was a negotiated compromise. It is different from private lands, I mean, as you know. The FPA is totally a different mandate than the GPD rule. And then the question will be, when we get to the principle of what we're talking about, the HCP and the Endangered Species Act, which is trying to deal with this exact question, to me it feels like that's a good place to have that conversation, like it's important you brought this up. But I feel like by bringing it up in principle two, we then may be opening up the GPD conversation, which to me is something that would be better to have that conversation in the context of an HCP. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't diminish the conversation in any way.
It doesn't matter which principle.
It's a nuance in that piece, and that allows us to keep that GPD rule there without having people say, "Wait, you're adding this language for this GPD, so why don't you change this other language over here on GPD a little bit to the principle piece?" That makes sense.
Sure. It just, at least as it was presented to me, Principle 2 was where we were talking about conservation.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good point, because I was going to Principle 8, which is where I was thinking we'd talk about the HCP. So maybe we could talk about Principle 8 and Principle, the HCP and Principle 2 instead, but 8 was where I was going, which is with the state and federal laws. That would be where I was thinking the language on HCP. As long as the principles are all equal. Because I know you emphasize the 1 and 2, and 2 and 3 a little bit more in the conversation than the others.
Yeah, that's just because of the assignment to define the two terms.
I think I might have interrupted somebody in a rules of order. Does someone else want to talk?
No, we're in the talk room.
Okay.
Let's capture the edits that were proposed for Principle 2. Or, sorry, Principle 3.
23, that's right. Put something up there. It's not what Nils said.
I just texted you the language that I had. It's on your phone.
It's in my office.
The plan will provide sufficient income to ensure financial viability and sustain them. And sustain the values that support GBV. Sufficient income to ensure financial viability and sustain the values that support GBV.
And then you will add it to the period and put the definition next.
No.
Oh, you think that's enough?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
we're
it.
Trying to.
That's good.
It's like principle. We're trying to stop.
The principle is, yes, everything else is below the principle.
Okay, great. So,
they can make a modification under the principle.
So, the problem that I have with this is if we have acknowledged that the plan can't provide for a diversified income, and we have determined that we can't be financially viable without diversifying our income, how can the plan provide sufficient income to ensure financial viability?
Well, it's possible. Can I just add, because I think this is kind of the dynamic here, is we may not be able to do this in a way that we believe is consistent with meeting our GPD responsibility. Mm-hmm. But this is the principle that guides it. So coming up with a plan that, you know, somehow provides the revenue we think is necessary, but in a manner that isn't consistent with sustaining the values that support GPD, we haven't done it.
Right.
So that's the built-in And I think
where I think your question and intention, Cindy, is to me, that comes as we then work on the goals and the strategies and the measurable outcomes and see, do we in fact still achieve the principle? Are we still abiding by the principle?
So maybe it is the plan combined with
business practices. 5 years coming to the conclusion that no plan can provide sufficient revenue to ensure financial viability and sustain the values that support GPV unless we diversify our funding source and get income from other places and from business model improvements and all that.
Why don't you just add, the plan will provide diverse revenue to ensure financial viability. And
that helps.
It could mean that right now we're doing a lot of timber, but just instead of sufficient, diverse. He's saying,
I don't have a problem with it. You're right. Right now, there already is more than one source of revenue.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I guess.
I might just offer that I think we should say the plan combined with best practices, because we do know that it's the changes that we're making internally combined with a plan that's flexible enough for us to implement those changed business practices is what's really going to give us the financial viability.
So if you're doing that, can we go the plan combined with best practices and diversified income streams will provide sufficient revenue? Then I'm happy.
Say that again.
The plan combined with best practices and diversified income streams will provide sufficient revenue.
Well, it says we'll provide diverse revenue. Right.
Yeah, but I was going back to the sufficient. If you put the diverse revenue,
so the plan combined
by ensuring best practices and diversified.
Right. Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, this is different people have different ways of approaching these things. For me personally, I still think like the whole issue of best practices isn't part of a principle. It's part of the strategy that you roll out to achieve this. But,
that's where we started. Okay. And then the 98% of revenue is lower in the description.
Yeah, just drop down here to the second sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't need to fix all that.
We're just working on the headers. Okay.
Yeah, if you do wanted that in the discussion, I think it's probably worth including a sentence there in the discussion that indicates that under current business model, we are not financially viable.
I think we're going to work on that and bring that back sort of under the consent project.
Yeah.
We're trying to get the principles.
Yeah.
Yep.
That
would be actually nice to vote on principles without maybe wordsmith the bondholder stuff, but if we can, then maybe we can.
You've got support for local employment. Can we put diverse or diversified local employment? Again, as a number of the folks testifying today, fish are considered a forest product by at least some of our folks.
Up to you all.
Do you care whether it's diverse or just local?
Some of the regions are like 50 years going, what's the stuff about diverse?
Well, I think most people that read support for local employment are thinking forest industry. And I think it's important based upon the testimony that we had today that we recognize that the forest is also supporting local employment in fishing and tourism industries, amongst others.
Well, I personally don't read it that way. It says local employment.
And we have diverse outdoor recreation systems called that, but it's not my call.
So recreation is different than what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the folks that are employed in non-timber related industries that are dependent upon the forest.
I think that that is correct. I would argue that the notion is attempted to be captured in Principle 6 that deals variation across the landscape.
Yeah, no, I was talking about this in terms of the trade-offs principle.
And I was going to say that this specifically is, because I would argue that there's a reason that's linked to financial conditions. And it's a recognition that there will be times when we're going to have to retract on some of our activities because of our financial situation. And we've had to do that recently where we've significantly reduced research and monitoring, for example, reduced our inventory work.
And that is entirely true in the current business model. Not necessarily so under a different business model.
No, it will be entirely true in a recession, regardless of how diverse our revenue stream is, it all declines during, recreation dropped during the Great Recession, a whole number of things dropped during the Great Recession. Diversifying the revenue stream would not have prevented us from having to contract during an economic downturn.
But you don't see varying levels of outcomes shifting when social conditions change? I do.
So why don't you just cross out as financial conditions change, because you have GPV reference, it just gets the same way.
Over time as conditions change, just strike out the word financial?
Yeah. Because GPV already addresses the other.
This is a guiding principle we have right now in the current plan. And I'll just make another lobby for the importance of it. I would argue that we're writing the plan under our current business model. We're not writing the plan for a different business model. If we were, then I would suggest we probably need to create that different business model first and then write the plan, which is a different task. I would argue that under the plan for viability editing that we just did, it says, hey, there's a, keep looking. Look for ways to diversify your revenue stream, which is pivoting to opportunities for a different business model. This is saying we are self-funded. We don't have other sources of revenue. When the funding drops, we're not going to be able to do everything that everyone wants to see all the time and everywhere. And if we don't, without that explicitly said here, the expectations, we won't be able to meet the expectations that
people
have of the plan.
Use the example that resulted in the trust counties deeding the land over to the state. The outcomes dramatically changed because of a changed ecological condition. So our outcomes are just as dependent upon changed ecological conditions as they are on changed financial conditions, and I would argue as they are on changed social conditions.
And so I would make the case that that is in Principle 6, and maybe Principle 6 needs to be better explained.
No, I'm talking about trade-offs. I'm not talking about pace and scale.
Oh, I was building off of your example of when the counties deeded the lands to the state, it was a result of a large disturbance event. And so Principle 6 in the way can speak to that as well.
I'm talking about trade-offs. We can find our plan making trade-offs because we've got changed ecological conditions just as easily as we can see our outcomes change because of changed financial conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe we could try to close this off. Would it work to say as financial, ecological, and or social conditions change? It would just give you greater flexibility. If social conditions change, you could quit doing some things as well. Okay. Does that hurt?
That's what I was asking for.
Okay.
You might, since we're talking about economic, environmental, and social outcomes, we might want to use the same terms. In both places, in that sense, we've got ecological, we've got environmental. Just make sure that any of those can be used.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think that works. Thank you.
All right.
And we have a
eighth one. So to me, this is where you can say the plan will address other state and federal laws and rules, comma. The HCP will complement the forest management plan. Something to that effect, that it will be in the bold, right? So it'll talk about the HCP and pull it out as part of the principles rather than in the unbolded section. We could move it to principle two, like what Cindy was alluding to earlier, but I think we need to address the HCP and the importance of intertwining with F and B, and that they are necessary ones together. The HCP needs to be done before and at the same time. So it's important.
As the board made a decision that the HCP is going to move forward.
Well,
it's not. That's not the question I'm putting out there, though.
I think, if the board reached the decision that the HCP isn't going to work for whatever reason, this would cause you to kind of figure out how you're going to do this principle.
Yeah, and it should.
Yeah,
because
it should.
If you don't have an HCP and you're just doing the FMP,
it's different than the board. Making a decision, without the assessment.
I'm just saying, maybe you change the world of wood. Does that bother you?
For sure.
Sure, sure.
Could.
Yeah.
If we end up through the process deciding that the HCP is not something we want to proceed forward with, presumably that would have huge repercussions for whether or not we want to proceed down the path we've been proceeding with the FMP.
Right.
We're developing them voluntarily.
What we're just saying, the way this is phrased for you is, we're going to still have a parallel process, so we're going to do the analysis. Liz and her team is going to report back on the potential value of the HCP.
Yes.
Right? And if it's determined not, then we're going to revisit this. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would think that if it's determined not, then we have to figure out how we are going to address other federal laws and rules.
Right. I mean, yeah. And this is sort of, from my perspective, this is sort of like, it's my last meeting, so I'm just saying this. But back in the 90s, I think I saw Jim Brown here somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, so he probably remembers. And I see Ross, like, it's still time, oh, home week. You probably remember, just as well as I do, but we had an HCP conversation back then. I was on the HCP Public Interest Committee back in 1998, right? And so I guess I'm a little bit jaded about the whole thing. Like, I actually think we tried the FNP route without an HCP for many years. So I sort of want, when I'm leaving, I sort of would like to sort of emphasize that. But the word complement does give you wiggle room, right? It just allows you to take a pause and say, oh my gosh, if this isn't going to work, it really might not. You might be in the same exact place in another 20 years, because it's been 20 years. So that's why I'm sort of like, you want an ACP in your Reiki, it probably could unravel with a take avoidance and move into the LA situation. So that's sort of where I'm at.
But the board isn't, the board, I'm assuming, still wants to, as it's indicated before, which is to have this phase one done to ensure that this is, in fact, a path that we can pursue.
Right. And that's, I guess, what I'm just wondering was if we decide but not, what does having this in our principle mean to retain it?
Yeah,
it
should.
Yeah. It should. And what does it mean?
It means you want to really revisit what the fundamental underpinning of the next step for the plan is, right? Because if you don't have an HCP that you're considering in conjunction, it helps the department, I think, too, because while you're thinking of the HCP, there's a take avoidance strategy and then there's the incidental take strategy, and they're really different things. So if you're moving along and that's with the principle that HCP is complementing the FMP, and then you're going to come to a point where you're going to say, is this really working or not? It will fundamentally change probably the way that you're thinking about the plan if you're going to take avoidance versus incidental take. It means there's just no way it won't.
No, I appreciate it. I'm not bent out of shape about what you're saying. I guess I'm just thinking about a lot of that, again, could be explained in subtext. And since you proposed that it's in the principle, it has more weight.
Yeah, that's purposeful.
And that's just what I want to really understand. I understand that you want it there. But I just want to make sure we all understand what it means to have it there.
Thank you.
I think there's value in explaining why they complement each other. You know, long-term conservation of species and assurances to, operational assurances to manage the forest. It's that combination that's important.
So you're comfortable with that?
I would be more comfortable if it was an HCP can, but certainly, that's my rationale for that is because I felt like there's a decision yet to be made.
Right.
But it's true, an HCP, the combination of FMP and HCP does provide that long-term conservation and assurances to manage. So,
that is what we don't know what the cost is. So.
What other sort of just measly observation will address is sort of wishy-washy words. Why don't we just say we will comply with other state federal laws and rules?
Sure.
I don't think any of us are intending to have a plan that violates them, so.
Does that bother you, Sybil, to change it to plan?
I would love it to stay well. Yeah. Can that be my present? Depends on you. Will would be much better. Because it's still clear. Will.
I don't, honestly, I prefer Will also. I think that reflects what I think would be the repercussions of discovery we were unable to get an HCP.
It sure would if you had it. You don't know if you're going to get it.
Well, that's right. But if we're not able to.
Can comes in.
If we're not not able to get one, I think it has serious repercussions on where we would be heading with the FMP. And so I think it would, in my mind, it would require a pretty major, I don't want to say full stop, but a pretty major extended pause to reevaluate what we're trying to accomplish elsewhere.
Yeah, because to be clear, I mean, with an HCP, you are allowed to log in spotted owl habitat as long as you provide a long-term plan for the protection. If you don't get an HCP, you can't do that. You have to do take avoidance, which is protect every single thing, and that's just a totally different kind of plan. It's a totally different thing, and it opens us up to litigation and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and so at 4:35, this may not be the best time to bring it up, but you know, we have been, when we embarked on this, it's been with the thinking that the proposed change to forest management plan would be based on take avoidance, because we do not have a programmatic ESA compliance tool. So the parallel process has been, in my view, a proposed forest management plan based on take avoidance, and in parallel looking at the opportunity to get an HCP, and that, in my mind, is where the complement comes in. If we end up with both. And with an HCP, the FMP is going to look different. But,
yeah, that's not.
So Will looks better.
Will looks better even. Because it's, yeah.
But this doesn't, I mean, I think this is almost a statement of fact that it also doesn't, at least in my mind, doesn't mean that the board is saying whatever the cost of or whatever the HCP looks like, that's what we're doing. I think it's a statement that we're trying to say that these things are intertwined. I mean, we've had concerns about an HCP. We've had concerns about how serious we are about an HCP, and we're trying to, we want these things to go forward in tandem. And so, to me, it's almost just a statement that if we can come up with an HCP that we want to do, that we think is appropriate, it will absolutely complement the plan.
Can we clarify that within the text below? That solve this problem? If the method is will be clarified, the board has not made a decision and is working in parallel and in tandem or two processes?
Well, that's what you guys can figure out.
Yeah.
But the thing that the reason that I was talking about this and feel it's important is it was important from the testimony that people brought up.
Right.
But it's also just personal experience from 20 years of moving forward without an incidental permit has felt difficult. And so it's very important that we get this kind of plan in place, and to say will and HCP complements is key. So that's the thing. That, you know, whether you're thinking about a no-take alternative, of course you're going to be thinking about that. But in order to make a plan that is workable, these two, the HCP and the FMP, complement each other as a principle. So if you're going to depart from that principle, then obviously else. So it feels like we'll vote on the principles today, and then you all will talk about the unbolded sections over time. So hopefully I was clear in the reasoning there, and you take it from there.
Okay. So is this, feeling good about that one?
Now your comment is gone, and there's a hand in there.
What? I have to
Well, yeah, it would be a semicolon.
A semicolon.
Yeah, it would be a semicolon.
So if you
have to get two.
So, you know, just being grammar Nazi. So we'll have the semicolon, we can do that. Okay.
All right. Principle 9. And I think for principle 10, is that good or do we need to? And in principle 10, there had been some conversation that Will examined was a little bit weak language.
Sure. I liked your paralleling your construction on a previous principle, going something like, will be developed and implemented to take advantage of opportunities to achieve goals.
Or just will pursue.
Yeah.
Or
we'll pursue. How about will we should do opportunities?
Yeah, the example is squishy.
Yeah.
We'll pursue. Yeah.
Looked at it and decided no.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a proposed additional one. Again, sort of, I actually have it as something that was I had identified as missing, and was interested to hear that a lot of folks testified today to that point as well, and that's with respect to climate change. And so I've got a potential draft on the language for the principle. So the plan, and I picked up your previous construction, will be developed and implemented so as to mitigate and adapt to climate change. Mitigate and adapt to climate change. And then down in the discussion, you know, you talked about the mitigation with looking for opportunities for climate sequestration and adaptation. You'd look at the importance of maintaining population sizes and connectivity so as to avoid populations blending out. You talk about minimizing other ecological stressors, and you talk about maintaining diversity in plant species and forest types. So that's the adaptation part, and the mitigation part is climate sequestration.
Now you all know how terrible I am at typing.
We don't have, I mean, if we open this up, we'll have a great state much bigger than our riparian rules in terms of what the science says about either sequestration and management strategies for sequestration. And we have an emerging issue, which the board has not explored, is, you know, climate adaptation is an emerging issue. We don't really have, we have some initial board policy on climate adaptation.
We also have the state that is invested in the governor's office that has invested an awful lot into looking at trying to tackle climate change through both mitigation and adaptations. And I think it's an important principle to have as a foundation of our plan development. We've got several years that are still even optimistically going to be involved in developing the details and guts of the plan.
Yeah.
I sort of, in a small way, proposed this earlier, but I think we're making enough changes here that we should treat this as a draft, the bold and the other language, and at our next meeting, so people have an opportunity to review and comment on it before we adopt it. I just think we're not doing one tweak for another tweak. We're doing many things here, and I just think from a process perspective that we need to make sure that folks have an opportunity to review, discuss, or maybe, you know, make sure that we don't have any legal issues that are clear to us as well.
I agree. Are we going to also hold discussions about the other parts of the recommendation?
About which?
The other parts of the recommendation, the analytic framework, and the...
the impact analysis.
Go away.
Yeah, your table one and your impact analysis.
Yeah,
measurable
outcomes definitions. Yeah, I guess it's, what's the pleasure of the board here? Is our time to mind short?
Yes.
Yes?
My
personal opinion is that if we're going to work on the principles, we're going to allow public input on what we
the same meeting.
Can, is there any way we can vote on the ones we seem to agree on, which was everything until climate change, which we should talk about and address and unpack? But it would be good if we could just, it seem, it'd be nice to have some closure. You guys are going to get this ripped back open again. So the black, the bold black language between, what is it, 1 and 10, vote in favor or not in favor of the tax. It feels like there's general nodding on this. Those aren't complicated. We worked through them. Let's just seal that. And then address it. You unpack the climate change piece more next time and unpack the unbolded sections more next time. I'm just thinking about, you know, we're almost there for that part.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that our restoration investment principle number 5 spoke to climate change already a little bit, but only in the context of restoration. And so for me, if we don't have a principle 11 or some version, then we could be setting ourselves up to be managing to create problems with climate change that we then have a principle that says we've got to go back with money, monetarily investments to correct.
We're not saying we're not doing that. I'm not saying not do that, just saying the things that you've agreed to now, do it. And then it's just because there wasn't light that circulated ahead of time on climate change is the only thing. We didn't even say that.
Can you go back to, did we change anything on principle 2 in the end?
I don't think we did. I think we moved the discussion to 8.
Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with what Sybil has.
Just 1 through 10.
Okay.
Suggested. That's fine with me. And also, Cindy, want you to know that I do want to engage in this discussion of climate change. I think it is an important issue. I can remember vividly talking with a bunch of people at the National Park Service about how they felt handcuffed by the principles and guidance to the National Park Service, making it impossible for them to fulfill their duty, because there wasn't some discussion about that in there. And so I think we want to, but I think we want to unpack this a little bit more, where it is relative to Principle 2 and 5 and how we deal with it.
Yeah, it's in no way saying we should deal with climate change. It's just 1 through 10, bolded letters. We've gone through all that. Let's keep it there so that then the next meeting you have is about the unbolded section, climate change, so you're not reopening up those bolded language pieces.
Do I
have
a motion?
Do I have a motion or do you?
I still have concerns about it. I think we're making significant changes. There can certainly be a motion.
I'm completely awake because I don't think there's a lot that's going to change on that, and it's going to not be a lot of staff work to do on that. So
I think 8 is probably the one where there's still quite a bit of uncomfortableness about the match up of the groups.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
I mean, I see people want to talk about this from the stakeholders.
Okay. That's fine.
But, I mean,
it's going to get,
why don't we just make a motion, vote, and then.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, I think, Tom, you can start the point.
So, we have the language that's been suggested, and that would be in the form of an amendment to the principles that we currently have. I think we're clear with what those changes are, right? So there's a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, for what you did.
Yes.
I'll give it a second for discussion purposes.
And then, is there any further discussion?
I'm just going to apologize to you, Sybil. I want to. But I do think listening to Tom, and if he's. I think there's value in allowing everybody here that's contributed to think about it and maybe deliberate one more.
Okay, have fun.
So, interestingly enough, from my perspective, just as a heads up, the rest of the board, While I don't have particular objections to any of the language that's now in the 11 that we've got up there, had I been charged with writing out the things that I think would be important guiding principles to govern our forward motion on the management plan, I'm not sure that these are the topics I've picked.
Well, and
to cover?
And any board member can offer modifications. I think we have a pretty good history of enabling. If we had more time today, I would say let's open it up for a half hour or so of public comment. Because I think we have a pretty good history of that. So my issue is a little bit more over process that we're not this weekend, we haven't given anybody an opportunity to reflect or to talk about what they mean, even our own staff.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that some of the changes flow nicely with the thinking that was originally behind the work here. There are a couple, this climate change one would be one example, and then the additional language around the HCP, I think it will be important for us to be able to come back to you all, let you know, and just sort of lay out what that means.
And I want to make clear that my own personal view is I think that an HCP is something we really do need to pursue, but I'm worried about this when it doesn't get, none of us are here, let's just say that happens. What does the language we are incorporating mean to others? So I don't know, should we call for the vote now?
It's totally fine. So it seems like you want to wait. I'll withdraw.
Okay. All right.
And so our direction is?
So what's the sense on the remaining recommendation? Or do you need more time to discuss?
I would support Mike. I think we take some time and bring the whole package back.
Would it be useful for staff to get maybe a 3-second feedback from each board member on the other two elements, whether it's a close approximation or any using one?
Well, let's be clear on that.
I'm real worried about, there's always a chance to interact with staff members as they develop this, and we've been reaching out very well to board members. I'm really wary about direction and mass to staff, kind of without the board. So it's not direction, are there some comments I'm not sure what you're trying to get at with that.
So if I were to get in my 3 seconds, I would tell you that it looks to me like your analytic framework is in with your various arrows and directions and colors and hollows and solids is a reasonable approach. I would be very interested to know what are the categories you're going to be doing that evaluation on. You gave the example of the legacy trees and the riparian, sort of what would the analytic framework be like to analyze is the question I have for that. But your various arrows and using the three legs of the GPB looks good. The comment that I would have on your definition of measurable outcomes, at least is the example that you gave me. It looks to me like what you've got on measurable outcomes is you defined it as identification of a measurable unit that we could set targets and standards to, and at least in previous discussions when I was talking about measurable outcomes, I was looking for more than just an identification of a unit. And so for me, in order to taking your example, number of large trees on the landscape over time across all stand types, to do what? To find the ecological function or the, what is your measurable outcome would be my suggestion. So it's more than just the identification.
Right, well, we do need to move on to another topic. And so The one thing that so staff will go back and take what these 10 or 11 principles are and work on them and bring back the whole package to the board at another date. So it will slow the process down. And I know everybody's been urging to move forward, and I will briefly say that what moves us forward to our decision. So the one thing that you had suggested before that could wrap up the department move was there was a suggestion last time that you really did want the department to bring a fully fledged alternative. Is that really, you know, as we got this contact done, is that what you really want to do, or is that a decision for labor as well? I mean, I hear this confusion around being able to work with the principals and discuss what it means without having a fully fledged alternative.
I think we've got to have, personally, I think we've got to have the principal before we have an alternative. We've got to have the principal standing before we get a fully fledged alternative. I think, frankly, we've got to have a discussion on what I'm thinking of as measurable outcomes at the board before you give us a fully fledged alternative.
So let me see if I understand what we need to be doing. We're going to take the edits as proposed for the bold language. We'll take a look at the discussion language underneath the bold language and see if there's more work that can be done there, speaking to some of the ambiguity concerns we heard today, and see if there's some more edits there that build off of perhaps some of the edits that were in the bold language. So that's those 10 principles. There was an 11th put on the table. I'm not clear what we're supposed to be doing with that, the notion of an 11th climate change principle.
I think that what at least what I'd like to see each of these is for our staff. I mean, you've heard the conversation on all the others, less on climate.
Right.
So, staff recommendation in response to the issues that the board has raised, but with the language, you know, to vet the language among your own, you know, within the department. And get some feedback to that about how best to do it. And I think we may need to get some. I mean, we heard a lot today about climate and its relationship to this. I don't think we have as clear a conversation here that would provide a lot of guidance.
Okay, but the notion of the value of an 11th principle.
Yes.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I mean, for me, as I think I said in my comments. So, first of all, my hope is that sort of getting to where Sybil was, that we're for the most part pretty close. That's what I heard.
Yes.
Right. So there's the exact language around Principle 8 that hung us up here, and then this question on climate change, but. Otherwise, I was hearing we're pretty close. So my hope is that this is not a lot of work at the principal stage, and it's clarifying some of the language, and ideally that this could happen pretty quickly, and we can bring this whole package back in June or July. But I think the question of climate change, for me, is still an open question about whether you strengthen some language subsidiary to one of the other principles, or whether it's its own principle. Right?
Yeah.
So we can think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nils's comment is really important, which is you're close. You almost could vote on it, but not yet, because you want one more time to think about it, right,
Yes.
Sounds
good. So then the other two pieces were the measurable outcomes and impacts analysis. I mean, at this point, since there's been very little discussion, I think it would just be bringing this package that we did, we bring it back, and we can all talk about it again.
I hope we can do it as soon as, if it's possible to do it in the June meeting, that'd be great. This might not be on July.
We'll have to figure that out again.
Yeah, I think there's enough reports for June or June last.
Yeah, well,
you know. Yeah, we can give some waivers to that.
I know that.
so bad.